to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Yeah, welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 879 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another fun episode lined up for us. In today's podcast, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out, we'll talk more about the free seeds later on in today's show. Before we get too far, I do want to send a big thank you to everybody who participated in the 420 sale at iredirect.com. Thank you, the sale was huge. A lot of the new drops sold out. There will be a restock of some of those items, but the sale was a huge success. The drops were a huge success. Thank you. I do appreciate that. Also, big thanks to everybody who used my coupon code on the AC Infinity 420 sale. Both of those sales were a huge success. I do appreciate all of the support. To keep it going, I'm going to continue that 420 sale on iredirect.com. That is going to now turn into a tax return sale. That's right. Everybody's getting their tax returns. Let's leave everything on sale on iredirect.com. I will also restock some of these sold out testers and sold out items very soon. Actually, right after I edit this podcast episode, the next thing I will do is take a fat dab and go restock iredirect.com. So at the time this comes out, check iredirect. Some of those testers will be back in stock and some of the sold out items also will be replenished. Also, my coupon code is still valid at acinfinity.com. Use coupon code IREARMY. You will save 10% at acinfinity.com. All right, I'm checking to make sure that covers. Oh, we got one more point of business here before we jump into the questions and answers. Don't forget about the DGC Cup. That's right, the DGC Cup is coming early June in... Not even going to edit that. We're going to keep flowing here. The DGC Cup is coming. That's right, the Dude Grows Cup is coming in early June. This year, we have moved the event to a beautiful place in Longmont, Colorado. I will be at the VIP party Friday night. I will be at the Saturday flower competition, and I will be at the Sunday Hash Bash. We will be vending Saturday and Sunday. Come to the event, say hi, grab some seeds, shake my hand. I will be there. The Dude will be there. Scotty Real will be there. White Mike should be there. That is the plan so far. Stop by the Dude Grows Cup. Come say hello. Once again, check dgccup.com for all of the information. Now, let's work our way into the question and answer portion of today's podcast. I don't know if you can hear it in my throat and in my voice. I don't want to talk about it too much because if you didn't notice, it's not a big deal. But I've got a little bit of a sinus, head cold, throat thing going on here. This is the episode I'm recording after the 420 weekend. Humble brag here. I got to go see Sublime. Yeah, that's right, bro. Sublime with Bradley's son, Jacob, doing the front job there. I got to go see Sublime at a small club in Denver. Mike and I got to go. It was really random. Sublime was scheduled to do a show here at Red Rocks on 4/18, I believe. And the weather fucked that all up. So they postponed the show for 3 or 4 days. Sublime was in town. They were bored. They wanted to play. They threw a kind of a surprise show at a smaller, once again, excuse all that. They threw a show at a smaller venue in Denver, and I got to go see Sublime at a small show, a small club in Denver with Mike. That was on 4/19. That's when all of this throat and sinus chaos began. We smoked 2 joints in the morning. We smoked 2 joints at night. We smoked 2 joints in the afternoon. We still didn't feel all right, so there was 2 or more, maybe 4 or 6 more joints. There was times of peace and times of war, so we smoked then as well. We smoked 2 joints before we smoked 2 joints, and then we fucking dabbed a little bit more. So my smoking section for my whole body, it notices it, and it needs a day off from smoking. So I think tomorrow we're going to not smoke. We're going to take a little break, drink a lot of water, get some juice and vitamins in me, get these problems fixed. That was disgusting. I kind of apologize for doing that. But what was I even fucking saying, dude? I don't even know what I was rambling about anymore. Excuse me for all this stuff in the voices where I think I was headed. We got to see Sublime, dude. This is the episode after 420 is where I think I was going. We got to see Sublime. Then it was 420. Then it was Earth Day after that. Oh, no, then it was Groundation Day. If you're a Rastafari, you understand about Groundation Day. I'm not going to teach you about that today. So we had Sublime on 4/19, then we had 4/20, then we had Groundation Day, then the next day was Earth Day, so I went to an Earth Day celebration there. My sinuses and my whole respiratory thing, it needs a day off. Happy 4/20, everybody, but holy shit, we went hard this year. I don't know what the fuck I was saying. I don't know where I was. We're going to do the question and answer portion part of the podcast now. I've got a website. That website, most of you know by now, is iRegenetics.com. That is my main website. If you go to that website, there are a lot of cool places to click around. Click around, find some cool shit. You just got to poke around. If you scroll to the top, there's a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, guess what? You get the option to send me a Grow question. If I read your Grow question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds off of my vending website, iRedirect.com. That's right, there's two websites. Lots of reasons for that. But today's first question that came off of the Grow Help tab at iRedirect.com came from our friend who wants to be called Crispy. What up, Crispy? I have never related more with the name, but I feel crispy today. Not complaining, but wow. Feel crispy. We're going to make a quick show. We're going to make it sound good. Crispy's question is a two-part question. The first part I answered on a recent episode. The second part, we're going to touch on this. And I'm going to get a few questions out pretty quickly today. We're going to not try to dwell on these questions too long. Let's get into it. I know, guys, I'm rambly today. You're welcome. The question goes, what up, Rasta Jeff? Two questions. Do you count week one of flower as soon as you flip? Yes, we've covered this. Just in case you weren't listening, this person is asking, when is day one of flower? We're switching the light from 12-12 or from 18-6 or 19-5 or 24. Going to flip it to 12-12. The day you do that, that is day one of flower. That is day one. The day you change the timer, the first night that those plants get a short night or a long night, a short day, that is your first day of flower. We've covered that. Day one is day one. The second part, what is your opinion on defoliation? My answer is, yes, do that. Do that with strategy. I defoliate semi-heavily, in my opinion. Honestly, I've been a little bit lazy. I've been defoliating medium. I should go much harder, but it is time-consuming, and there's a couple plants in the back my big ass can't really get to right now to defoliate them the way I would like. So they're a little bit furry. It looks like a 70s bush in there. I like to defoliate. I recommend in a commercial environment, I defoliate quite heavily. Don't hit one plant and strip it at a level 10 and then move to the next plant and strip it. Go in a spiral around the entire grow. Do this plant at a level 2, this plant at a level 2, this plant at level 2. Get them all at a level 2. Then go back through and do them all to a level 4, or level 5. Strip them pretty good, as much as you're comfortable with. Any leaf with a big purple petiole comes right off. Any leaf I can strip off easily comes right off. Any leaf blocking light from getting to a lower bud site probably comes right off. I don't need that much blockage, that much shade in there. So I do a lot of defoliation. The reason I'm telling you to do it in a rotation is because if you, and this is going to vary on the size of your room, the amount of plants. Keep in mind, I have a commercial cultivation background, so I think on a larger scale sometimes. But if you go and you strip row one down and rows three and four are still looking like a 70s bush, you're going to have a huge fluctuation in humidity levels in that room. This plant is going to have, this section is going to be a lot more damp, a lot more humid in the room. The VPD is going to be funky. Over here, it's going to be drier. You're going to have different effects on the plant. If you've got sensors hanging in the room, now your equipment's going to be coming off and going on all random. It's not sure what's happening because you've created microclimates. You need more fans. You need to adjust things. It's still going to be a little bit of a struggle. So I do defoliate and I do it heavily, but I do it in a rotation and I do it with strategy. I will lollipop the bottoms of the plants, clean them up depending on the room, the light. There's a lot of fucking factors in there. Clean up the bottoms, do some lollipopping, then do some pruning of those sticks. I'll clean off the bottom, shave the legs. Then I'll go and start at the top and I'll do a heavy defoliation and try to get that light all the way through the canopy into all of those buds. So what's your opinion of defoliation? Quick answer, fucking do it. Second answer, do it with strategy. Work your way around the room. Don't hit one plant and then leave the rest real furry. Try to work with some strategy. That is my advice. Anything with a big petiole, take it off. These plants can take a lot of defoliation. I will do it right at the start of flower. I'll do it on day one, day 21, sometimes day 42, and then keep going because now you're just getting ready to harvest anyway, and why not start pulling off leaves because we don't need all those fucking leaves there for harvest. There are a lot of benefits to taking off these leaves. It will slow down some processes. It will help with the VPD, and that's where the powdery mildew will go. That's where the spider mites will go. If you don't have hotels, then the people won't go stay in the hotels. So that is my opinion. My dude, Crispy, thank you for the great message. I've got your email address. Make sure you check your inbox for a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before I read this next question, let me remind you to click like and subscribe. That's right, mash that like button. Also, click subscribe. That way, if you like this content, you never miss any of my amazing cannabis education. I'm just fucking around having fun here, but really, seriously, like and subscribe. It's free, and it helps me out a lot. We're going to keep this momentum going. This question also came from that Grow Help tab on iReadGenetics.com. Thank you guys for visiting the website. This question says, I have a plant I want to preserve in seed form. Oh, this came from our friend Slick Rick. I should have said that. Slick Rick, check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for free seeds, my dude. It says, I have a plant I want to preserve in seed form. This makes sense. You've got a plant. Perhaps you've got to move. You've got to take a break from growing. You want to preserve this plant in a seed form. Maybe you just want it in the box so that when the end of the world comes, still have this plant in seed form. Whatever reason, I understand. It says, I don't keep a clone, but I have 40 regular seeds of this cross. How would you recommend I go about this? We've got a couple of options here. I am trying to not have to keep the mom, and I'm okay with slight variations in each seed, but I want to avoid a lottery of phenotypes. I've got 2x4 tents, and I can't run more than 4 plants at a time. Please help. So you've got a plant you want to preserve. You've got 40 seeds. So do you have the plant? Do you have the specific plant that you want to preserve? Have you found the phenotype, or have you got 40 seeds? I don't keep a clone, but I have 40 regular seeds of the cross. Either way, you're going to have to grow the seeds. If you've all you've got is the seeds, you've got to grow them. Find your favorite phenotype out of these seeds. I would say run 20 of them and find the best. And we've got two options here. Find the best girl, the girl that you like the most. When you smoke it, that's what matters the most. Find the female that when you smoke it, you go, Shazam, that is the weed for me. Find that one. Then also possibly, potentially, find a male plant. That would be another suggestion. If you want to do it this way, find a male and a female. Then, or, see, we got three options here. I keep opening up options in my brain as we do this. The easiest way, find a boy and a girl and let them do their thing and you will make more seeds. There will be variation, but you will find the traits you're looking for in that offspring. You're going to make F2. There will be variation in your F2. Another thing you could do, find a couple of females you like and pollinate them with that same male. That's an open pollination. You're going to get the lottery you said you don't want. Let's see. I'm not trying to have to, don't want to hunt a lottery of phenos. That's going to kind of give you a lottery. So don't do the open pollination, but that's the way to find the fullest expression of that genotype. You're going to find all the phenotypes, all the different traits by doing one male to multiple females. You'll find the open pollination will give you the phenotype you're looking for and a lot of great other options. Now, here is what I would do. This is probably where we should have fucking started, right? Just jump right to it. I would grow those seeds, find the plant that you really like, find your favorite plant. That's what this all is all about. Find the best female. Take two clones of that female, the same exact plant. You got two clones of it. You're going to have to take clones if you want this to work this way. If you're not going to take clones, the only way to really do this is to male-female this. But find the keeper plant that you like. You need two clones of that plant at this time to make this work. You're going to reverse one with silver thiosulfate, or I haven't shared this yet. I've tried a product called Elite X. I have tried it 2 times. I've got 50% success rate with it. Everybody told me the one plant I tried to reverse was stubborn and it would not work. I should have fucking listened. So far, I've got good success with the product called Elite X. They do not sponsor me. It's an expensive product. I straight up pay cash for it just like everybody else. I haven't advertised it. I haven't talked about it. I haven't said that that's what I use on a public forum at all before. It is called Elite X as a reversal spray. Either use silver thiosulfate or Elite X and reverse one of your plants. That plant will then make pollen. Put that pollen on the other copy of that plant. Put it into flower. Put that pollen on the other clone. What you're going to do, what you do now is make S1 seeds of that plant. Whatever this cross is that you have got that you love, we're going to call it Slick Rick. You've now made Slick Rick S1s, and those will show very similar phenotypes to what you're looking for. Depending on the plant, you'll find somewhere between 40 and 60% of the offspring from this procedure will look just like the plant that you played with. The outliers will be even better. They'll be cool. They'll have some secrets you didn't know about, but some of the phenotypes will look just like the plant you started with. So you will find what you're looking for. Now, the catch is you said, I don't keep clones. You didn't keep a clone. So maybe next time do keep clones. So here's what you got to do. Here's what I would do. You don't got to do a damn thing. Here's what I would do. I would run 20 of these seeds. I would find my favorite one out of this batch. You could find your favorite two if you want, but I would focus on the favorite one. Find your favorite two. You could do three if you want. This is up to you, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your favorite one, the best one. You got to pick one that is the best. Reverse that. That is my advice. So you got to grow this plant. Find it. Keep a clone of it is the main fucking thing that I skipped here. Grow this plant. Get a clone. Grow all these. Get clones of them. Keep your favorite. The favorite has got to be kept. And then get two clones of that one. I know I'm fucking rambling. It's been a long week, you guys. Get two clones of your favorite plant and spray one and pollinate the other one with that pollen. You can also put other females in the room when you do this. Just in case there's another female that you really like or another strain that you like even, put a clone of that in the room also. You're going to throw pollen. Why not put pollen on two, three, four, five other plants and see what you create? I know you want to make the preservation. That will happen. But also, by pollinating other plants, you get to do something that I find is fun. When you pollinate plant, let's say I've got a mango drink here in front of me. Let's just say we took strawberry and we pollinated mango. We're going to get strawberry mango, right? We should. Maybe it's more strawberry. Maybe it's more mango. We're going to find out. We don't know really what that male plant is doing in that mix other than giving us strawberry flavor and the female gives us mango. That's what we get. If I take that strawberry and mix it to mango, chocolate, and lime, and then we grow all of those, we can find the commonalities amongst those phenotypes, and that's coming from the male. That's coming from the strawberry. If all three of these plants hold a similar trait, it couldn't have came from the females. They were different females. That's what the male is contributing to this breeding project. So that's why I like to pollinate multiple females when I'm doing it. I'm off on a side tangent. That's not what you asked at all, but that's part of what I would do if I was doing this. When I'm pollen chucking, when I'm making plants, why not put something new, experimental, brand new, what the fuck in there every time and see what happens? Most of what I do is really thought out. Sometimes it's let's see what this one fucking does. Just curiosity, just because. And sometimes, you guys, those are the fucking winners. So you want to preserve a plant, easiest way, make S1 seeds out of it. That's what I should have said in the beginning. Thank you for letting me ramble. My dude, Slick Rick, I've got your email, so check your inbox for a coupon code for free seeds from iredirect.com. All right, I know I'm rambling. I know I'm high as giraffe pussy, but we're going to keep this show going. This one also came from the Grow Help tab on iredirect. This one came from somebody who wants to be called New to Growing. Welcome to Growing, bro. I hope it's going well for you. The question goes a lot like this. It says, are silica additives like Armor Psy and Rhino Skin necessary in a drain-to-waste cocoa coir? And if they are, how should they be used? I'm sorry if this has been asked before. No, I am not familiar with answering any questions about silicates before. The question is, are silicate additives, are they necessary? I don't know that they're not required, but they definitely do have benefits. You'll notice more robust plants. You'll notice thicker stems. You'll notice plants that can handle stress a little bit better. If you forget to water, they'll tolerate that a little bit better. If you give them too much heat, they will tolerate that a little bit better. So the reason they're called shit like armor and rhino skin is because they make the plants, it's armor. It makes them a little bit tougher. So not required, not necessary, but beneficial if you do it. If it's in the budget, go for it. Next part of the question, how would they be used? I would recommend the first piece of advice when you have your reservoir, your bucket, your water, whatever you're mixing into, the silicate product goes first. Put that product in there first. Whatever amount you choose to use, whatever dilution, solution rate you're putting in there, the first thing to do is put in the silicate product very first. Put that in there and then stir it. Are we stirring it? I don't remember. I was told which way. I think we go clockwise. Stir it clockwise a few times. Get it moved up. Then stir it counterclockwise a couple of times just to get it in there. That does something ionically. All you organic chemistry nerds, fill me in. I pay attention, but it doesn't all stick, you guys. So put the silicate product in first. Stir it the other way. Then start adding your other products after that. Then I would go with my base nutrients, probably CalMag, or not CalMag after that. Liquid Karma is what I would do after that. But work your way down the line. But the potassium silicates go first. Then the next thing I would think about is the recommended dosage. Depending on what product you're using, some of the brands I would use the recommended dosage. Some of them are pretty strong and I would use 50%. Maybe start off with about 50% of the recommended dose, feed your plants that, see what it does. If it's not giving you any response, increase to 75. If you don't see any response, maybe go to 85. But by the time you get to 100, you'll see if you're burning them and they'll start acting weird. The ends of the leaves will turn a little crispy brown. The leaf tips will start pointing straight up. They might curl up a little bit. So if you're using too much silicates, the plants will let you know. So start off with maybe 50 and then slowly increase the application rate from there. All right, my dude, new to growing. I hope I answered your question. It's not necessary, but it helps. And add it to the res first and start with a 50% of the recommended dosage. All right, I've got a good momentum going here. I like giving away free seeds. How long have we been going? We haven't even been going that long. We got time for a lot more, you guys. This one also came from that Grow Help tab on iReadDirect.com. This one came from our friend who wants to be known as Cloud. I like that name. It makes me think of Final Fantasy. Use the materia, bro. Anyway, the question goes like this. It says, hey, Rasta Jeff, I love the show. Thank you, man. I've learned a ton watching you and the Dude Grows. Big shout out to the Dude Grows. Make sure you check DGCCup.com. Come say hi to me at the Dude Grows show, the Dude Grows Cup. It says, first, I want to say thank you, sir. I wouldn't be where I am now without your guidance and knowledge. Bro, thank you. I know I read a lot of comments and stuff like that, and I blow right past it. That does stick. That does mean a lot to me, so thank you. That's a recharge. That's some potassium silicate. That's a bloom booster for a podcaster, so thank you. There's more. It says, my question is, I bought a ton of nutrients at a grow store that was closing down. All right, that's a good deal. And now I wonder how long I will be able to get away with storing these nutrients before I see negative effects on them. Do the products we use have a shelf life, or is it a chemical that will be good for a decent amount of time? Big up, keep the knowledge going. My bro Cloud, thank you for the good question. This is something that people often overlook, something that probably should have been brought up a very long time ago. Those products all have a shelf life. I wouldn't recommend more than a 1 year life on those products. They are sold in different bottles for a reason. They are, and I was told I say this word wrong, but I learned it from a Canadian. So they are buffered and chelated. Are they chelated or chelated? Somebody fucking, you can't do it because you're just going to type it. I'm never going to know. Is it key or she? Tell me in the fucking comments, because somebody always tells me I'm saying it wrong. If I say it either way, it's wrong. So we're going to say chelate because it sounds better to me today. But they are buffered and chelated inside that bottle. If I'm saying it wrong, I feel fully R-worded right now. But they are not meant to sit around for a long time. They're especially not meant to be together for a reason. They will bind. They will get chunky. Those things will start to fall out of solution. Have you ever grabbed a bottle of nutrients and shaken it up to use it, and it sounded like there was little bottles or little chunks of salt in the bottom of the bottle? There are chunks of salt. That is your nutrients. All the stuff you paid for is now bonded up at the bottom and made a little cake, and now you're pouring colored water into your feed mix. It's all you're getting. So yes, there is about a 1 year shelf life on most of those products. And depending on how long they've been sitting on that shelf, the time may be ticking. Who knows? I'd like to say a year from when you open it, but how long has it been sitting there? Maybe that, like I said, the time is ticking. From the minute they make that shit and start shipping it, the time is ticking. So I wouldn't keep it around for more than 1 year. Give it a sniff. If it smells bad, it's getting fun. Well, some of that shit smells bad the day you open it. If your Photosynthesis Plus smells good, it has gone bad. That's, oh man, that one smells terrible. But give it a smell. It should smell familiar. If it gets chunkier than it was, it's probably got a problem to it. So that is my advice, and I am sticking to it. My dude Cloud, make sure you check your inbox, because like all of the great folks before you, you've got a coupon code for free seeds at iredirect.com. Boys and girls, I have enjoyed the rapid-fire pace of this show. If you like it, leave some comments down below. I do like your comments. Tell me go faster, go slower. Let me know if you could tell that my voice just sounds terrible in the headphones. But we do not miss uploads. All right, here we go. This one came from our friend Lazy Boy. Shout out to my buddy Lazy Boy. I know the feeling today, bro. The question says, how you doing, Rasta Jeff? I love the page. And my question is, can you make seeds in a tent, or is it better to make seeds outside in the sun, or does it matter at all where you make the seeds? Well, I would say make your seeds wherever you can, but indoors in a tent is my preferred environment. because I can control everything in there. I'm a control freak when it comes to growing. Outdoors, I don't know if somebody in my block, in my neighborhood, 4 miles away, is growing cannabis and put a mail outside, or maybe there's a hemp farm with the mail outside, and my crop got pollinated with that random stray pollen. There's no way to prevent that, detect that. I don't know that. So I don't like growing outside for seed. I would prefer to do that indoors in a tent environment. I have, however, had amazing success breeding plants outdoors in a greenhouse. I rented a greenhouse from a friend 2 years in a row. We put a few plants out there and we made impressive amounts of seeds. The seeds that came from the greenhouse, those seeds were fatter. They were more robust. They had a better germination rate and there were a fucking lot of them. And it was basically free to grow it outdoors. We had to do maintenance and care and we had to be there and I had to rent the space. But there was no electrical cost. And that was huge because the lights are the most expensive part. But the reason I enjoyed that is because I was in a greenhouse and we had fans and we had air exchange system to prevent pollen from coming in. No pollen would come in. Air was going out. We had negative pressure blowing the air out. So that way we couldn't get accidental pollination. So if you're going to breed other than indoors, I recommend some sort of control, some sort of greenhouse environment. But my favorite is indoors. That outdoors was awesome because it was very profitable. It made a lot of seeds, but also, it was very easy to get problems out there. So most of my stuff is indoors. I think 99% of what I've ever sold has been bred indoors. There were two crops of outdoor seeds, and I know there was no pollen contamination there because, first of all the progeny looked right, and first of all, we made precautions to make sure no pollen would get in. All right, my dude, Lazy Boy, don't be too lazy because you've got a pack of seeds coming. You're going to have to get up and go to the mailbox and get the mail because you've got a gift from Rasta Jeff. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all you healthy people and all of you folks with head colds, I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast. I do apologize for sounding a little bit funky. I tried to put out a decent quality show. It might be a little bit short. I'm not even sure. But thank you. Thanks for all the support. Thank you for all of the comments you're going to leave down there. Thank you for all the likes you're going to leave. And thank you for all of the new subscribers. I do appreciate it. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, my email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Once again, if you have grow questions, send them to that Grow Help tab. That's how you win free seeds. If I did not read your question on today's podcast, please do not feel discouraged. I have got reams of paper over here that I've printed out with amazing grow questions. I cannot get through them all, but I will do my best. Maybe your question will pop up on the next episode. If you've got questions, please send them. I look forward to hearing from you. All right, I'm rambling. That's all I've got for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy OG Purple Thumb. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece in and I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, Pokemon, and relax.
Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show. From the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. Spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, cure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart, it's every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day.
soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart.